She'd be fishing over the side.
Yeah, she would have loved it.
The haram piece that loved to jump in our.
Of course.
In our comments. It's the cutest moment when your mum was trying to speak English, which we can't share with you guys at the moment.
Yeah, we can't share just yet.
We want to. Hello and welcome to Colour Coded, the podcast where we talk about life, cultures and relationships. I'm Alex.
I'm Afsa.
And this is Kaya. She has joined us for today's podcast. We'll see how long she stays.
Yeah, I was just about to see that.
And you might hear some scratching and some movement in the background. That will be Kobe. Yeah. That's our cat. So those of you that can't actually see the vision, there she's
there
gone.
There you go. Yeah. Right on cue.
She's gone. Anyway, in today's podcast, we thought we would talk about our nikah.
Yes.
Because we get so many DMs, so many questions about it. And now it's been about a year and a half since we...
Oh, yeah, it has actually.
Yeah.
Hold on, Mike. Yeah, a year and a
half.
Yeah, a year and a half.
Isn't that crazy?
It's gone
Time goes so quickly. And we get so many questions about it. So we thought we'd go through it from the beginning all the way to the end and explain some of the things that went really, really well, some things we found a bit tricky. And yeah, in hopes of helping you guys and also just giving you a little bit of insight into our day. So...
Should we start?
Go on then.
All right, so... I didn't really know. I wanted it really simple. I just thought in my head that it was, we'll find a nice mosque, we'll just go there, we'll see if they can, you know, fit us in and what days they have available and we'll just go with family. But obviously Alex is like, no, even if we're going to do something small, we want to make sure it's still right for us.
Yeah.
Like it's still a nice event. So I said, okay, perfect, no problem. So yeah, Alex got a notebook out, start planning everything. We did loads of visits to...
Bearing in mind, at this point, I have never been in a mosque.
Yeah, yeah.
So I need to add that. I've never been in a mosque prior to this point. So the first step was finding a mosque. So we had a few different ones that we thought. Regent's
Local.
Mosque.
Regent's Park Mosque,
yeah. Regent's Park Mosque is really beautiful and obviously near your hometown. Mm-hmm. So something that's quite, you know, prominent for you. And yeah. It is really beautiful. It's a really lovely mosque. But then we also found out about Cambridge Central Mosque, which is about an hour from where we live, an hour and a bit, which is an eco-mosque and is absolutely stunning.
Yeah.
So I was thinking there is absolutely no way that we're going to be able to book this venue because any other Western wedding, you book something that close, it's just not going to happen, especially on a Saturday, which is what we'd planned for. So I was thinking there's no way that we're going to do this. So anyway, we booked it and the anticipation while we had to wait for them to respond was absolutely mad because we were like, we can't do anything else until we have this key part sorted. Thankfully, they did have availability and it works on kind of like a donation basis. So the idea is that, you know, you donate what you can, they give recommendations. So we gave a bit more, didn't we, than what they recommended to kind of give back to the mosque and the local community and the great work that they are doing. So that was all booked. That was good to go. And I think we paid maybe about £800, something like that.
I think so, yeah. It was around that.
Because I always do get questions on how much we paid for the actual mosque, but I think that was about right.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that included about 45 minutes inside the conference room. So depending on which room you decide to get married in, they have an incredible atrium in the middle, which has lots of natural light.
Mm-hmm.
It's really beautiful, but it's massive. And we were like, there's only going to be a small amount of us there. Let's do one of the smaller rooms so we don't feel like we're kind of engulfed in all of this. And you do get to go in the atrium, which is the middle part, anyway. Mm. So we had about 45 minutes of the conference room for the actual nikah, pictures, things like that. And then we went into the atrium to take some really beautiful photos. It's kind of like best of both worlds.
Yeah.
So obviously that was all booked, but I hadn't been in the mosque still at this point.
So we planned a few days, obviously, just for me and you, just to go to Cambridge and just kind of scout the location, check it out, see if it's going to work for us. They had parking available, free parking on the ground, which was perfect. We went into the mosque, they were so welcoming. And one thing I was really worried about, because it's Alex's first time, and I'm like, okay, so I was talking her through what she needs to do, taking her shoes off in certain areas, making sure that she puts her waist, having her hair covered. So we went in, people were there. There was loads of people from different... I think they do tours as well. So
the actual architecture is really beautiful. It's world-renowned. And I think it's one of the world's first eco-mosques.
In Europe,
yeah. In Europe. And the architecture is absolutely stunning. It's designed to look like trees. If you haven't seen it before, I highly recommend you just taking a little Google search and checking it out because it's absolutely beautiful. So people that aren't Muslim do go there as well just to see the architecture of... It's beautiful.
And of course learn about the religion as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, there was a little bit of a buzz going, so it kind of, I don't think it was that scary. I think
it didn't feel out of place.
Yeah, it didn't feel too out of place. But We was there, we checked the front courtyard, it was beautiful. It was a bit of a dreary day, but it was still stunning.
It just had a really nice energy about it still, didn't it?
So we thought, oh, if it looks like this on this type of day, you know, it could look amazing on a sunny day. We had our fingers crossed if they could fit us in, it would be on a sunny day. Yeah. But anyway, we inquired, we asked questions, we went to the cafe, and then after we were set on it. We just said, yeah, okay.
Yeah, let's go ahead. The imams who we spoke to were really lovely as well. Yeah. So we did speak to two different imams, and it ended up being a different one on the day. But the imam we had was absolutely incredible. He was so lovely and had like a bit of humour as well, which I thought put everybody at ease. So we planned the car, we got that sorted. We managed to get a venue sorted for afterwards, which was The Graduate, Cambridge. And we booked a room in there, had all the food sorted. So let's fast forward to the day of the nikah.
So the nikah, everyone had their invites by this time, and we told everyone to be at a certain time, and luckily nobody was late. But when we was going, it was the heavens open, and it was literally torrential rain on the way there. But we weren't going to let that, you know, spoil the day.
Thankfully, my mum and stepdad were able to come up to London. So we weren't really sure because it was such a short period of time. And it's also during the time where there were loads of train strikes.
Oh, yeah.
So we were super worried. And there happened to be a train strike the day before their train and the day after their train. So I was thinking, oh, my goodness, like, what if they can't get here? That's going to be it. They're not going to be able to come. But thankfully, everything aligned. Mm. They were able to come. And we had mainly your family and your friends there. Because this was more for you, and this obviously
the Islamic ceremony, Islamic side of things, yeah.
The Islamic side of things, and then hopefully, you know, when we do have our big celebration, we'll be able to have everybody, which will be really incredible.
I think that was one of the things that I struggled with a lot, because I have got a very close knit set of friends, but because the venue that we had afterwards as well didn't see as many people, I had to really limit who I can bring in or who I can actually invite. And that was very, very tough. Yeah. But in the back of our heads was, okay, this is only just the first part of our, the wedding, in terms of like, this is just Islamic ceremony. Later on, we'll do something bigger. So that kind of, you know, softened the blow a little bit.
The top tip, guys, always tell people that the actual wedding is going to start 15 minutes before it does.
Yeah,
that saved the day, because we had quite a few people that were going to be late because of the rain as well. So it meant that when they arrived, they were actually on time.
Yeah, and it was beautiful because everyone drove into the car park at a very similar time. So everyone parked up next to each other. And bear in mind, loads of people. Bless you.
Sorry, I always sneeze into
my I know, I'm so used to it now. But yeah, everyone kind of met in the car park at the same time, and loads of my friends obviously know each other. But for example, some of our mutual friends didn't meet any of my friends from my school day. So, but it just felt like everyone knew each other for such a long time. It was the first time my mum and my auntie were meeting Alex's parents, and yeah, that was a bit of a thing, because we didn't know how it's going to go. You know, so if there's going to be a barrier, obviously, with the language or...
If you guys don't know kind of our story very well, you might not know that Afsa's mum and auntie, they have quite limited English. Now, Afsa's mum, I know for definite, actually understands a lot more than she lets on. But she's very shy to talk in English. So we were a little bit worried what it was going to be like when they first met, because there's a language barrier. Also, they're from very, very different cultures. Mm. So we were so... I don't know, I guess apprehensive about what that was going to look like.
Yeah, definitely.
We knew that they're both like, you know, your mum and auntie are really good people, my mum and stepdad are really good people, so we knew that it would be okay, but obviously it comes with that anxiety of how is it actually going to go.
Even after the nikah, when we went to The Graduate for the meal, and we all sat on the same table, and it was just beautiful. They sat across each other, and there was no awkwardness.
No.
It was beautiful. But also...
And at the end as well... So in Bangladeshi culture, maybe South Asian culture actually, but you'd often be invited back to somebody's house afterwards, right?
Yeah.
So your mum and auntie said to my mum and stepdad, will you come back to our house for some tea?
Yeah, tea, of course.
Tea, yeah, we're drinking tea right now. come back for some tea. And unfortunately, they couldn't because we had other things that we had planned. But it was just the cutest moment when your mum was trying to speak English to them.
That was so beautiful.
And it was just that moment. And there's a really cute video of that, actually. Yeah. And me and Afsa are in the background. I don't even know who filmed this moment, but I'm so glad they did. So obviously, Afsa's mum and auntie, my mum and stepdad, they're facing each other. They're trying to communicate. There's a language barrier. Your mum's saying, can you come over? And there's me and Afsa just in the background, like just watching, like our eyes going from side to side, watching each bit play out. But it was just the most wholesome, beautiful moment of like these two cultures coming together.
It was beautiful. And we had so much anxiety and we were very apprehensive in terms of how is it going to go. But even when my mum was trying to talk to Bernard, bless her, she was trying her best to say, you know, in English, and she did a good job.
She did.
But in the meantime, you see our face, and we're like, oh, what's she trying to say? What's she trying to say? But then as soon as we realised what she was saying, and our faces just kind of just like relaxed, and we're like, oh, okay, that's fine, this is okay. And then, bless, obviously, Bernard and Jan, they had a very early train the next morning, and then obviously by the time we got home, it's going to be way too late. And so we couldn't take them to my parents' house to kind of have the little meal or tea afterwards. So
hopefully next time
we can definitely do something. But yeah, that was it. And also, some of our friends, they've never been inside a mosque before.
Yeah.
And so obviously me and Alex made sure that we put in the invites, have for the first part of the nikah in the mosque, and obviously a bit more relaxing.
Yeah. So we obviously are very aware of the fact that both of us have Western friends that have never been in mosque before. So we were really clear with our friends what it would be like going in there, and just very open and honest with them, and had conversations with them before. So when they go to a mosque for the first time, they don't feel overwhelmed. And obviously there are restrictions in what you need to be wearing. So you need to be dressed modestly. You need to have your arms and your legs covered. You take your shoes off when you go inside. Obviously for the women, they need to have their hair covered. So I created some invitations, just digital ones, to kind of keep the cost down.
They're very, very good, actually. You do a very good job.
Thank you. I'll see if I can link them down below for anybody that wants to use them or kind of use something similar. Created some invitations. I put the details really clearly on what the expectation of what you should wear when you go as well.
Yeah.
So that everybody felt comfortable. And I had personal conversations with each person as well to be like, look, this is a situation. This is what it's like. And I even said to some of my Western friends, if you don't feel comfortable and you don't feel that you want to go inside the mosque, that's also completely fine. And I think that's quite important to make people feel like they don't have to if they don't want to.
Because
you do have to understand that people have their own, you know, their own beliefs, their own ideas, their own perceptions of things. And it's important that they feel comfortable. And I spoke them through what the process of the nikah would be like. So prior to the wedding, we had a Zoom call with one of the imams who was meant to be doing the wedding, but unfortunately was ill on the day. And that was really good because it put us at ease for the whole process, didn't it? Because he spoke us through what would happen. Majority of the nikah is in Arabic.
Yeah.
But what they do is if you request it, they can do English translation. So that's what they did throughout the whole nikah, translated each part in English so that everybody in the room could understand what was happening and spoke us through each part. And thankfully, the imam on the day also did that, which was fantastic. It just makes it much smoother.
Much smoother. Again, the imams as well, absolutely, honestly, can't, you know, praise them enough. They were amazing. They understand that this is the first time for a lot of people coming in. So they made the whole experience very welcoming, very open. They even said, if you have any questions, come see me after. We'll explain why we said this, why we said that, and why we do it in this certain way. And it was actually beautiful. Like, he recited a verse from the Quran. He translated it in English, like Alex said. And everyone just seemed very comfortable on the day. Nobody felt like they were out of place. And it was just a beautiful, beautiful time as well. And also just seeing your parents in a mosque. They've never been inside a mosque before.
No.
And then being at the front with us, right with you.
I know.
And it was just beautiful. Everything just turned out very, very well. And also, we didn't want to go, crazy with the expenses. We always said we wanted something simple.
Something modest, something simple,
and it worked out perfectly. Like our
had no decorations, no nothing.
Yeah, very, very.
Our outfits even, maybe just a little side note, I went to Green Street with my sister-in-law. We went to an Islamic convention first at the Excel Centre. We had a little look, see if there's anything there, and I couldn't find anything that was calling my name. So she was like, do you know what, Alex? Let's go to Green Street. This was my first time in Green Street. My goodness.
Now you love it though.
I love Green Street. We're actually going to go there later today, aren't we? I absolutely love Green Street. It is a real, what is the word? All your senses are not heightened, but...
It's a real hit to the senses.
It's a real hit to the senses because there are different smells, different sights, different sounds. It is, but it's such an incredible place.
It's very welcoming as well. Like, it doesn't matter where you're from.
So yeah, went into the first shop in Green Street and I saw this beautiful green dress and I was like, this is stunning. I had kind of green in my head, maybe white, but I was like, I love green. It's just so beautiful. So I saw this green dress and I thought, I like that one. And it was under £200, guys. It was very, very affordable. And I thought, okay, I'll bank that one. We went and had a look. We kept going in all these other shops. We went into the mall, which has much more kind of like designer South Asian dresses. And those are spenny, like incredible. The designs, so intricate, but so much money. And I was like, I'm not prepared to spend this just yet. So anyway, after kind of walking around for ages, I was like, I still like that green dress. And I went back and I got the green dress that I saw in the first shop that I walked into. Yeah. Then after said, okay, if you're wearing green.
Well, yeah, I said, I'll try and match it. Either something, a color that complements the green. But what happened was we went literally the week after for my outfit because we couldn't find anything online. Yeah.
And you didn't want a full Shawani, did you? I didn't want to go crazy with my outfit.
I just thought, you know what, something very simple. You know what I mean? I don't want to, just very simple. I'm not a flashy person. So I just thought, I don't need the whole thing. I just need something simple to compliment you and I'll be happy.
And there's also nothing wrong with being flashy in your wedding.
No, nothing. It's your wedding. You should. But I just didn't feel like I needed to.
Feels overdressed when he's wearing a shirt.
Yeah. I'm a very
even
simple
if it's
man.
A casual shirt, he still feels overdressed.
Hey, give me a longi and a vest. I'm at home. No, but
if you guys aren't familiar, longis are like traditional Bengali.
It's like a sarong.
Yeah.
But literally, my outfit. First shop we went in, it was me, my brothers, and my cousin. First shop we went in, had a look. Went around, then saw this one outfit that's literally exactly the same colour as yours.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, this looks all right. Should I try this one on? Tried it on, and then everyone's like, yeah, that looks good. And then I said, should I just get this? Yeah, why not? And then that was it. Literally, first shop, bought it, left. And honestly, price was ridiculous. It was so cheap, but it looked good. So I thought...
You would not believe the price of that. But like, I love those outfits. I look back and I'm like, I would not change those.
No.
Neither of them would I change. I love them.
Yeah.
I think they're so iconic and I just love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
And then, yeah, it worked out perfectly. Even the imam on the day, he was like, oh, I didn't know there was a color code.
Color coded.
But I didn't know there was a color code or else I would have wore something green as well. I was like, oh, we don't want to clash with you. You know? But he looked great. But yeah, so that's our journey to our nikah. And again, I know that mine and Alex's journey is not your traditional Islamic journey.
Yeah. And like, we do have the haram police that love to jump in our...
Of course.
...in our comments. And like, we understand that you want to hold people accountable, but sometimes you have to understand that also people are... We know. And we are sharing our story and we recognise that we're going to get criticism at certain points. But you have to understand that everybody's on their own journey.
That's it, yeah.
And everybody, you know, develops as a person and they improve. And as long as they're always doing that, then you shouldn't really criticise them, in my opinion.
It's true, yeah. And if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say
hold it.
Just keep it in. But also we know that there's loads of couples like us that have these issues or have these dilemmas when they're in a relationship. Or how am I going to go about making this right?
Yeah.
Because I know for a fact... Before our nikah, I know it wasn't right Islamically. I knew that. It was always playing in my head. So I wanted to get it, you know, I wanted to do the right thing in Islam and, you know, marry you and have my nikah. And alhamdulillah, we managed to do it perfectly and our family have blended in very well.
And also, I think, you know, you have connected with your religion a lot more. So if you think about when we first met, your connection to your religion now is much stronger.
Yeah, listen, I'm not saying I'm the best Muslim.
No.
You know, everyone's on a journey and we're
and
trying
we're human,
to be,
like people make mistakes, right?
Yeah, we're trying to be the best version of ourselves that we can be. We're gonna, you know, make mistakes. But as long as you are aware and, you know, you ask for forgiveness, that's what I've been taught. You know what I mean? And try not to make those mistakes again. That's fine. You're on the right way. Like I'm not saying I'm going to be perfect or I am perfect now, but we're trying. You know what I mean? So, and it's never too late to try to do the right thing.
Yeah. And I think sometimes that can be really disheartening for people. Like I know people that read some of the like negative comments or the halal police that love to come in and say things aren't halal.
Haram police.
Oh, let's say halal police. I can see why for people that'd be really disheartening to read those comments, because you're never going to feel like you're doing enough. And I see somebody, you know, they post videos or a Muslim person that's doing like incredible things and the haram police will still be in their comments criticizing. And I think that's just part of it. And we don't really mind it. We, you know, as long as we know we're doing the right thing and we're always striving to be better, then that's fine by us. When the nikah was finished, we were given time to exchange the rings, which is really lovely. And then we took some really nice pictures inside the atrium, some nice videos of everybody. And we didn't even have a photographer, did we?
No.
We literally did all of the photos and videos. We had some disposable cameras, which...
So about the disposables. So
go on,
I think you were just about to say it.
I was about to say.
When you do give disposable cameras to everyone, make sure you tell them to put the flash on.
please tell them to put the flash on. Because we know that so many incredible photos were taken, but we, I think, maybe got like 4 or 5 good ones out of 3 cameras.
Yeah, we had 3 cameras and we just left them on tables and said, look, just go, you know, go crazy, take pictures. Forgot to tell everyone, press the flash button. Because when we developed them, we paid good money to develop all the pictures.
Oh my God, it's so expensive to develop.
Yeah, we didn't realise how expensive it was.
It's like £60 to develop 3, maybe even a bit more,
it was
3
more.
Cameras.
Yeah.
So expensive, and most of them were black.
It was very grainy, dark, and you couldn't really, you know, but it's fine. Luckily, we had loads of people on their phone, so we managed to get loads of pictures
after.
Yeah,
and your brother and his friend, Reese, they kindly took lots of photos.
Big shout out to them. They were
big shout out. We're really grateful for that. So we did get some really nice photos. And yeah, some of our favourites were just taken on an iPhone. And I cherish those photos so much to this
day. And Samsung as well, not just iPhone. And the Samsung. Just saying, you have to.
Why are Samsung users like this?
No, because everything doesn't revolve around iPhone. And Android, sorry. Android phones and Apple.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah. But anyway, basically, the mobile devices, the pictures from the mobile devices were beautiful.
everything.
It was just beautiful. We got everything after, videos, everything. Like Alex said, people took videos of certain moments we weren't even aware of. And when we saw it, we included it in the actual vlog.
Yeah.
And it turned out...
And we managed
out
to make a full vlog out of everything. So I'm like pretty impressed with how much we got from that.
To this day, I do go back on our YouTube.
You like watching it, don't you?
I'll just randomly just have it in the background. I just watch it because it puts a smile on my face. You know, seeing everyone there, obviously would have loved to have more people, but seeing everyone on the day that were there just enjoying themselves. And it was very, very relaxed. And it was just beautiful. Yeah, go out.
I was just saying, the next thing that I had to find after we'd kind of secured the venue and everything was where we were going to eat afterwards. And this was really hard, but I cannot recommend this place enough.
Mm.
So we went to The Graduate in Cambridge. The whole experience from the first time I emailed them to getting everything set up, they even provided us with halal food, which they don't normally do. They provided us halal food on the day. We booked the small room. And we didn't even have to pay for the room hire. We literally just paid per head. And I think it was about £40 per head, maybe?
I believe so, yeah.
Roughly £40 per head. But the food...
Delicious.
Oh, my goodness. Delicious. And the actual aesthetics of the room were really beautiful as well. It opens out into a garden area. There's a river, a canal. We wanted to get...
This would have been perfect.
Perfect. We wanted to get the Cambridge canal boats. Do they have a special name? I couldn't think of the name.
No, they're called... my mind's gone blank now.
They're not called gondolas, are they?
You can call them gondolas, but basically, yeah, the
Cambridge canal boats. Let's just call them that.
Canal boats.
Someone could tell us in the comments. But the Cambridge canal boats, and we wanted to hire a few of those and get everybody to go on them and take some nice pictures, but also just to have fun. That was our whole goal of this entire event, was for everybody to feel happy, loved, comfortable, and have fun.
Yeah.
And I really feel like that That was the case. So yeah, we went to the graduate. They had everything set up for us. The tables were set up beautifully. Thankfully, your cousins and brothers went there a little bit earlier, and I just put some like little arrangements of like fake flowers and some like eucalyptus and gypsophilia and like a few table decorations that I'd made.
Name tags.
Oh yeah, my name tags.
You did name tags.
And
we got Enamel's name wrong. Sorry, Enamel, that's my fault.
Okay, so his friend was called Enamel.
I've known him for a very long time.
And I specifically said to him. Since he went to secondary school, right?
Yeah.
I specifically said to AFSA.
He wasn't happy.
How do you spell enamel? I said, surely it's not like the actual enamel on your teeth. And he was like, yeah, you just spell it like that. And I was like, no, please can you check that you actually spell it like that? And he was like, yeah, no, that's definitely right. So on the day,
I'm sorry,
enamel man. Came up to me and he was like, you spelled my name wrong. And I was like, you're looking at the wrong person here. Because I double checked that because I did not think that your name would actually be spelled like enamel on your teeth.
No, the first thing is I came in and he had the tag. He's like, you got my name wrong. What's going on? I'm like, oh, it's Alex's fault. And I walked off.
So, honestly.
That's my fault. Hands up, it was my fault. I should have checked that. I should know, really. But anyway,
sorry, Enamel, we apologise for that. But, made name tags, the venue was really nice, but the food, so much of it, and honestly, it's probably one of my favourite places that I've eaten.
Yeah, it was really nice.
It's really, really good. We had salmon, chicken, and beef.
Braised beef, I believe. Beef. It was delicious. They had like quinoa salad, they had lots of...
so much variety, potatoes.
Roasted veg. Yeah. Like, it was very healthy, and it's not... We've been to Asian weddings and it's very like traditional Asian.
I love it though.
Or it's stunning.
So much rice,
lots of oily foods, but it's so delicious, right? But this was completely different. Even my mum was loving it. She's like, this is really nice. She's loving the salmon. Like, we had quinoa. Like, my mum's never had like quinoa before. She's like, what is this? She's like, this is pretty nice. And she was eating it. But yeah, we had lots of veg. It was very healthy and it felt good. And we had even desserts, little desserts. It worked out perfectly.
Yeah, and the atmosphere was beautiful. Yeah. And it was just good energy. And I was a bit worried because we hadn't really planned anything while we were eating and we weren't really sure how we were going to pass the time, but we didn't even need to because everybody was just chatting. And I think because, you know, we like to surround ourselves by people who are good people and they have good energy and they're kind. I really felt like I could feel that in the room.
Yeah.
It was a really beautiful. It was a really, really beautiful day. And it ended about six, I think, five or six.
Side note. We didn't go on the canal boats due to the weather. We forgot to mention that. We're just in our flow and we're forgetting why we didn't do it. The cost was actually fairly decent. You can hire quite a few boats and have the whole...
I think about 12 people on a boat or something like that.
We could have had like three or four boats and they could have just followed each other. It would have been very cute, but unfortunately...
And they actually dock at the bottom of where the venue is. So you can actually get it from there and they will organise it for you. I think the name of the lady that I spoke to was Katie. And she was just amazing. She was so lovely.
Helpful,
and I had so many questions and she was just incredibly helpful. And I'm so appreciative of her.
But yeah, unfortunately, my parents would have loved it. My auntie loves boats, innit? So
she'd be fishing over the side.
Yeah, she would have loved it.
True Bengali style.
Exactly. But unfortunately, we couldn't do it because the weather wasn't the greatest and we didn't have all the coverings and stuff. So we didn't want to get the whole party wet.
Soaking, yeah.
And but that would have been fun. So if you are thinking of doing an event, definitely if you're going for the Cambridge, what was it called again?
Central Mosque. And then going to the graduate.
If you're going to the graduate or anything by the canal.
They do have bigger rooms as well, should I say. So we have picked a smaller room, but they do have really big ones.
Yeah, at the time, I don't think the big rooms were available because they had some conferences or something like that. So we had to go for the smaller venue. If you're going to book the graduate or anything by the canal, that's a really cute idea. You can definitely hire the gondolas or the canal boats and head out on a little excursion on the canal for like a half an hour. So I think it's every half an hour.
Yeah. And it's an experience for everybody to remember as well.
Everyone's going
to
remember
that. So maybe we'll have to do like if we ever come back and it's around our anniversary, maybe we'll have to go and do a little event in honour of that. But yeah, it was truly incredible. And we need to do our civil ceremony. And we also hope to do kind of like a bigger celebration at some point as well.
Also, we are going to do a civil ceremony, hopefully very soon. And that's going to be, again, it's going to be very small, very intimate, very like we just like very small, intimate things just to make everything official. But like I said, we're going to hopefully do a big party, wedding party with everyone that we love around us. eventually.
And when we can afford it.
And when we can afford it. Because right now, cost of living is not doing anyone any favours at the moment.
But also, like, have you guys looked at how much weddings cost?
Oh, my God, yeah.
It's absolutely madness. Mm. Like, I think our whole nikah and all of the food and everything and our dresses probably cost about 3 to 4K.
Did it?
Yeah.
Was it? Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought it was less than that.
Maybe 3K.
3K, I thought it was around
maybe
3K.
Around 3K, but that's still like a good amount of money that gets, yeah. You know, and that was a very, very small thing that we had there.
Definitely, yeah.
So yeah, it costs a lot of money and we just aren't prepared to spend that yet. We've got bigger goals at the moment.
Exactly,
so.
Exactly. We've got big plans.
Which we can't share with you guys at the moment.
Yeah, we can't share just yet.
We want to. We've actually, and I'm really sorry if we haven't been posting as much on socials or on Colour Coded, because we have been
busy. Very busy.
Busy. So as soon as we can share our kind of plans and things that we're doing, we will do.
Yes.
So keep your eyes peeled.
As soon as our
And if you're an avid watcher and have got this far, you've got some insider kind of knowledge that there's something coming soon. So we appreciate you. Trust me, we appreciate you.
Yeah, we appreciate you. Everyone that's hanging around, thank you so much. We appreciate it. And also, recently we've been, because we've not been on socials for such a, well, we've not been as active. We've been just going to quite a few different events and just being quiet. But being approached by so many of you on the streets.
Oh my goodness, yeah.
Honestly, it makes our day, because we are in our own bubble and we forget that we have reached quite a lot of people out there. And the amount of people that come over to ask for pictures or just talk about certain things that they might be struggling with.
Yeah.
It is so beautiful.
It keeps us going, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah, it really does. It makes our day knowing that we are actually helping people, especially going through similar situations. And yeah, so thank you. And we really appreciate you and we love you. But yeah, big things to come, inshallah.
So
stay tuned.
Stay tuned. Until then, make sure you subscribe, follow, like. Check us out on Instagram, colourcoded, CULRCODED. Until then.